Simplicity Parenting, read by the author Kim John Payne. that would be me. Introduction. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. As you simplify life, the laws of the universe will be simpler. Henry David Thoreau. As parents, we're the architects of our family's daily lives. We build a structure for those we love by what we choose to do together and how we do it. We determine the rhythm of our days, set a pace. There are certainly limits to our control, ask any parent of a teenager, and it often feels like our lives are controlling us, caught as we are in a mad rush from one responsibility to another. Yet the unique way that we perform this dance of daily activities says a lot about who we are as a family. You can see what a family holds dear from the patterns of their everyday lives. I've trained to do so as a counselor and an educator, but children need no such fancy training. They pick up the clues naturally. They see the golden overlay on all our comings and goings, all of our tasks and busyness. This is what they see. With our time and presence, we give love. Simple. And they're quite right. As parents, our motivations and intentions are few, our dreams nearly universal. No matter where, no matter how modestly or grandly we live, most of us want what is best for our loved ones. From these few common motivations, love, and the desire to protect and provide for our children, we build families every day. As parents, we carry the blueprint of dreams, of what our family could be. The plans change, and the whole thing goes way over budget, but there are unexpected additions, and the work never ends. Still, through the messiness of construction, we see one another with such depth and hope. Our 5-year-old boy is still so clearly the baby he once was, and sometimes you can see it, and sometimes you can see the man he'll be one day. We draw energy and inspiration from our dreams, our simple, common motivations. In their development, we can see the extent to which our children feel protected. Surrounded by those they love, they make extraordinary leaps, fantastic moments of revelation and mastery. At our urging or prodding? Never. In flashes, they show us who they are, revealing their golden, essential selves. And as parents, we live for such moments, but we can't schedule them. We can't ask for them, and we can't hurry them. We want our family to be the container of security and peace, where we can be our true selves. We want this most urgently for our children who are engaged in the slow and tricky business of becoming themselves. Will our love and guidance give them the grace they need to grow? Children are so clearly happiest when they have time and space to explore their worlds at play. We may be bouncing between the future and the past, yet our children, with little Zen masters, long to stay suspended, fully engaged in the moment. Our very best hope is that they'll develop their own voices, their own instincts and resiliency at their own pace. And despite how many times we forget, sometimes in a single day, we absolutely know that this will take time. Now, a comment from me is that this is one of the major struggles that we all have as parents, and it seems that modern society it's almost like we're trying to pack 18 or 21 years of development into the first 8 years, And it's having a lot of consequences. And since writing this book, I've seen this more and more, this tendency to want to pack so much development that really should be spread over such a long period of time into a shorter and shorter space. And yet there's a lot of parents who are questioning that. There are a lot of parents who are genuinely saying, yeah, you know what, this is really not okay. But back to the text. The rest and rejuvenation we want from our homes is getting harder to find. Our work lives have moved in, taking residence in our computers, finding us whenever a phone can reach us. Children are overbooked as well. While parents may need software programs to keep track of their kids' activities and schedules, or developmental psychologist David Elkind notes that children have lost more than 12 hours of free time a week in a single decade. When multitasking is valued as a survival skill, should we be surprised when increasing numbers of our children are being diagnosed with attention difficulties? In every aspect of our lives, no matter how trivial, we are confronted with a dizzying array of things, stuff, and choices. The weighing of dozens of brands, features, claims, sizes, and prizes, together with the memory scan we do for any warnings or concerns we may have heard, all of this enters into the scores of daily decisions. Too much stuff, too many choices. If we're overwhelmed as an adult, imagine how children feel. Whichever came first, too many choices or too much stuff, the end result of both is not happiness. Contrary to everything advertising tells us, but obviously obvious to anyone who has chosen a cellular calling plan, too many choices can become overwhelming. Another form of stress. Not only can it eat away at our time, studies show that having lots of choices can erode our motivation and well-being. Also finding its way into our homes and lives and our children's awareness is the avalanche of information, unfiltered and often unbidden. Home used to be a parochial outpost, and the outside world, the big unknown. Parents had trouble conveying all of the information that their children might need to face life in the real world beyond the confines of the home and the neighborhood. Today, the real world, in all of its graphic reality, is available for view anytime, any place via the internet. Our responsibility as gatekeepers is to become exponentially more difficult, even as it's becoming more critical. A comment again, this whole principle of the parent as a gatekeeper is something that has been so eroded over time. I'm in workshops that I do around the world, I'm seeing this more and more where parents are feeling displaced as the gatekeeper of their family by just this tsunami of information that's coming at our kids. And yet more and more parents are saying, you know, we need to stay central in our families. And a key part of staying central is just to dial it all back. And in dialing it back, at least we've got a starting point. Now, finally, just a little bit more of the introduction. So back to the text again. You've heard about a frog dropped in a pod. You've heard about a frog dropped into a pot of boiling water and it'll struggle to get out. Nothing surprising there. But it turns out that if you put the frog in a pot of cold water and slowly heat it to the boiling point, the frog will remain still without any signs of struggle. Based on the families I've been privileged to work with, the hundreds of parents who have shared with me their concerns and my own experience as a parent, I believe that the pot we're in today as families is increasingly inhospitable for us, but especially for our children. Are we building our families on the four pillars of too much stuff, too many choices, too much information, and too fast? Well, I believe we are. But I also believe that we don't mean to be. I know for a fact, as I've seen it many times, that parents can bring fresh inspiration and attention to the flow of family life. Without a doubt, as the family's architect, we can add a little more space and grace and a little less speed and clutter to our children's daily lives. My experience with many, many kids and families has helped me figure out ways to reduce the stresses, distraction, and choices, all forms of clutter in children's lives. I've seen how effective these strategies can be in restoring a child's sense of ease and well-being. This is a book about realigning our daily lives with the pace and the promise of childhood. Realigning our lives with the dreams we hold for our families. It's a goal to help you strip away many of the unnecessary, distracting, and overwhelming elements that are scattering our children's attention and burdening their spirits. To have moments of calm, creative, or restful is a deep form of sustenance for human beings of all ages. Relationships are often built in these pauses, in the incidental moments when nothing much is going on. This book should give you many ideas how to reclaim such intervals, how to establish for your children islands of being in the torrent of constant doing. Perhaps we'll finish with that point for today's reading, is that that relationships are built in the intervals. You know, this concept is so important and often missed. Relationships seldom are built in the rush and hurry. They seem to be, at least to me, to be built in the moments in between, the moments of just ordinariness, the moments of just hanging out, the moments of just being together as a family, just those regular times. And in order to allow those times to be, you know, we can't really schedule them. It's not about scheduling. It's about dialing back. Okay, that's our reading for today.